This episode of the Viewing Center podcast is proudly sponsored by AccessBet. AccessBet, your access to millions.
Take this code and play the game of AccessBet.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Enjoy 100% first deposit bonus, cut one permutation, virtual games, live bets, cash out, all on AccessBet. AccessBet, your access to millions.
Welcome to the latest episode of the VN Center podcast. I'm your host, Tega. I'm joined by Edmond, Oris, and Olivia. Oris, how are you doing?
Oh, Tega, I'm fine. I'm just having Qatar, but notwithstanding, I think I'm good. My voice is going to sound a little bit different today, so please, you guys have to be over. But I'm good. I'm good. Thank God for life.
Olivia, good to have you back with us.
Oh, hi, Edmond, Tega. Thank you guys for having me back again. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I think I like to have you on when something is going wrong with Manchester United. So let's kick this off with that. Harry, what's going on with Manchester United and your club? I think lots of penalties these days and unfair decisions. This is the same complaint that PL Premier League fans had last season, and it's happening again with Man U. And Ole is not really like performing. It's like 1 week on, 1 week off with Manchester United. So how have you seen your club's performance this season?
I think the only thing going on with Manchester United right now is obviously we know that tactically Ole, it's so far from it. And they just rely on individual brilliance, which is like once in a while this day. You can't even score against West Brom. Like West Brom hasn't won a game since. And you can see the way they performed against them. Like, it was like they were playing one top team like that. So all it took was like a penalty. And so they shouldn't be at a team like Manchester United, if at all they have any plans of finding their way back to the top, or if they even feel that they still belong there. So far, it's just been, you know, flashes of individual brilliance holding them together. Imagine just winning your first home game in eight matches with a very shaky penalty call that was like West Brom could have also scored their own penalty as well, and it could have been a draw. So I'm just saying Ole should not be there if they want to move anywhere ahead. But apparently the owners, they don't care and they're sticking with them. So this is what we're going to see for now. You know, back and forth. Good game today, terrible match tomorrow. So for now, that's that.
Oris, I know you used to be an Arsenal fan. It's kind of the same situation with Arsenal, but I think Arsenal is a bit worse. They've just scored 9 goals this season. They've not scored in open play.
Are they a bit better? Manchester United, they've just scored 13 goals and they've conceded 14. So how are they better? I think they're both on 13 points. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
United has a game in hand. Yeah.
Yeah. At least for Manchester United also, there's like sometimes they score 5 goals, like against RB Leipzig, they scored 5. So there are sometimes they show that they can actually score. But for Arsenal,
that's the frustrating part. Imagine beating PSG, beating Leipzig, and then you're coming with West Brom and you're acting up like it's so frustrating to watch. Like watching Manchester United is something you should do as a non.
It's not frustrating. Okay, maybe it's frustrating for you to watch, but as a football fan and from somebody from the outside, I think like it makes more sense, because against PSG you don't. Man United, for example, they don't go into that game as favorite. They go there as the underdogs, and then they go there, they set up, they defend, and then they hit on the counter-attack, which I think is their strongest weapon you get. But when you play West Brom at home, West Brom are not going to allow you counter them. You get, they are going to...
They're also defending as well. So
do you get, so yeah. Is that inability to break down teams? I feel like that's where they are having issues, which is very funny, because Bruno Fernandes, I think he's one of the best creators in the league this season. You get, apart from his penalties and everything, but he has created a lot of chances, at least more than any other person.
Yeah.
So, but they are still...
No, actually, in the league so far, actually, he hasn't. Marcus Rashford is like the greatest creator they have yet for now.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Bruno, because I read somewhere that he has created more chances than another player.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, notwithstanding, we can check on that offline. But the issue you are having is you are having issues, and it's been there last season. That's why they are always favorite against big teams. If they go and play Man City today, they will play very well.
Yeah, like you said, they always go as underdogs if there's a bigger team.
Yeah.
But then with smaller team, they also feel like the smaller team as well.
Ole has to work on the crazy side of their game, which brings us to the whole Arsenal issue too, which thing that you were talking about. I feel like that's their issue too, because they're not creating enough chances. I mean, they've not scored an open goal in over 4 hours of Premier League. You get it. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
We've been complaining over time. Everybody has been saying Arsenal's defending has been shambolic, but this season, apart from a couple of games, I think defensively they've been very good. So I think Arteta has sacrificed a lot of their attacking instinct for defensive solidarity. So that's where they're having issues now, because now they can't create. Willian is just a flop. Pepe is getting red cards, more red cards, and it's getting goal assist and goals. Aubameyang, since he signed that new contract, he has been the shadow of himself. It's like, I don't understand. So there are a lot of issues.
Sorry, why are you bringing up the contract? Is it the contract that is taking away his abilities?
No, but he was good before he signed the contract. He was playing.
But you know the thing, it almost feels like he was pressured into signing that contract, and there's just this thing about it actually matters. Do you know that maybe he didn't want to continue?
He has signed it. That's nobody's business, bro. That's nobody's business. He has signed it. You have a responsibility to play. They are paying you good money. You are the captain of the team. You are not a baby. If your mind is not there, it was not like Messi that came out to say, "Hey, I don't want to stay here no more. I want to leave." Do you get? He never came out to say he wanted to leave or he wanted a bigger challenge or something different. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you have a responsibility. You made a decision, so you have to perform. But he has not been anywhere close to the Aubameyang that we know. So they have a lot of work to do, to be honest.
Okay, I was saying, and considering how like they ended last season and started with the whole community shield thing, I actually had hopes. Like, I was like, okay, cool, they're going to try and do well this season. But then again, it has been so very unsteady performances. It's like they're not even playing as a team. Everybody's just looking for their individual glory thing, which is still not even coming for.
If you remove Arteta's FA Cup that I won, and maybe you might say he has won a trophy, and remove the Community Shield that he was able to beat Liverpool. People call that a preseason trophy. He hasn't outperformed Unai Emery. He hasn't outperformed at Wenger. Looking at stats for now, after 29 matches, he's like bottom. Emery had 57 points after 29 matches. Arteta has 46. And there's no just sign of that they are going to score. Because I was watching them this evening, even before the red card, there was no sign that this team is going to score. And for the first time, I'm seeing Arsenal playing park the bus consistently. Arsenal is always parking the bus against almost every team now in the name of defensive solidarity. I know Edmond that is always saying Arteta is like... but when you are defending and you are not moving forward, what is the point of playing football? They're a big club, for God's sake.
Let me come in here briefly. I think there was progress. I mean, they beat Man City last, they beat Liverpool, and they played well. Do you get? So I think there was progress, but I don't know, something has happened. Something has just gone off somewhere along the line.
That's exactly what I was saying. Towards that end of last season,
I think it's going to be stringing up passes, stringing up games.
So
exactly, because it's not going to be fair to say that there has been no. Okay, maybe statistically you can say there's been no problem, but I mean we watched, so we can see. They were doing something good at the point, and then it just went off. I don't know.
Yeah, because at some point I can remember some of their fans saying how much they're enjoying this, watching them play and how things are going, looking well and all that.
At some point there was some hope.
So
you know what makes their whole situation fun is that they have one of the best creators in world football. They are paying about 350k to sit at home.
And
today on Twitter, I was seeing Piers Morgan.
And I feel like excluding him from that team squad was literally one of the worst things I've seen this year. And I've seen a lot of terrible things. Like, I think that was very unnecessary.
So ridiculous.
Because this is someone, even if you don't want to be playing him first, starting him, at least let him be on the bench once in a while, bring him in, you know, let him do something. But this one is, you're literally saying like, okay, we don't want you playing. That's literally what it means. Not including him in his squad at all at all. It's like saying, we don't want you playing, no matter how good you are. Yes, I know that he hasn't been consistent, but how will he be consistent when he doesn't even get to play?
The issue is not about his consistency here, because I don't think Ozil, let's not put it like Ozil was one kind of big missile. When he played towards the ending of Emery's time and at the beginning of, it wasn't all that. Do you get? But come on, it can't be as bad as they're playing now.
Yeah.
Do you get? And they seem to have that defensive solidarity, which is going to enable him to perform. Because we all know he's not the one that is going to track back and tackle and all that. So he needs that structure where defense is good and he can allow his attacking side of his game to flourish with Aubameyang, Lacazette, Pepe. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's funny. And from what I'm hearing, it's looking like it's not even sporting-related issue. It's no issue. Yeah. He made a tweet one time where he was castigating China for their treatment of Muslims and something like that. And then most of the, I think the Chinese something has a very big stakeholding in Arsenal football because they just
and they were sent like, him to they didn't like,
you get to the day that they're just like, punishing him. But it's very ridiculous. When I see him tweeting and trying to, I feel like he's doing that on purpose. You get when I see him doing that, it breaks my heart, guy. It breaks my heart because I love Ozu. I love Ozu.
Definitely.
He's the kind of person he's the kind of player you want to see playing on the pitch, not tweeting.
I mean, Ozu is too talented to be. And he's what? How old is he? 29.
Well, for me, I enjoy him tweeting. Like, Edmund is basically doing your job and he's getting paid, so no problem. He's an influencer, so he should be taking classes from him. Anyways.
They should be taking classes from Ronaldo. Ronaldo is the real influencer.
let's move on to Chelsea now. Chelsea have been playing good football recently, and they've been scoring goals. They've been not conceding.
Yeah, I know you're happy, so let's hear what.
Definitely. When as a Mendy has been like a breath of fresh air. You know, it's good to have a goalkeeper where you're not, everybody's not shaking. You see, Rudiger is doing very well now.
Yeah.
Zuma is doing very well.
Do you know, I almost forgot. Like, I do. And, well, when we saw the transfer window and all the players that we're getting in, it was always going to be possible that this would happen. So it's not coming as a surprise to me personally. I already saw the huge improvement coming. Going to get better from there.
No, definitely. In terms of attacking wise, the improvement was always going to be there. But defensively, we've been abysmal. And just having a goalkeeper who knows what he's doing behind the sticks and not someone that you need to be having hypertension for, is just like a breath of fresh. I think Mendy has done well. I think Lampard has finally found a formation where he doesn't need to please everybody. He was trying to please every single person playing 4-2-3-1. But now, playing 4-3-3, doesn't need to. I think that formation is kind of working for Chelsea now. And when I explain well, Ibrahim is playing well, and he's not trying
you
to.
You know,
play
and him. Another thing, when you have the players available as well, when you have the players available, players like the kind of players you have like options, and not just options, good options, very decent options. So it's really helpful to have those players in your team. So
yeah, Edmund, what's your take on Chelsea so far?
I think they've been good. I think they've been good. I mean, you guys bought a lot of players this season, so lucky. I'm not really surprised. Because I expected a couple of them to bowl. I mean, you can't expect Thiago Silva to come and flop. You get ZH has been brilliant. I think Winner, of course, is going to score goals. So you're having good. Happy. But to touch on the Kepa issue, I read somewhere that Kepa has made more saves in the same number of games than Mendy has played. Yes, he has made more saves. So I don't even know what the issue is. I feel like Mendy came with that. That is very big toy that he brings. I feel like there's some kind of jazz there. Because I don't know what the guy has done. I don't know what's happened. Maybe he's just
like
a very big, good goalkeeper. So I feel like, because it's the confidence that he brings. Because most teams playing now, psychologically, you know that, okay, it's not Kepa. I can't just shoot the ball anyhow. You get what I'm saying? I have to be precise. Because if it was Kepa, you know, you just have to. I feel like it's a psychological. But it's good for him, though. I read where he said something like he wants to succeed so badly at Chelsea because he wants to show the big teams that they can invest in African goalkeepers. So from that point of view, I'm rooting for him and I'm happy for him. But you know, I don't like Chelsea like that. I want to suffer. But you guys are doing
well. I'm just excited for the team as a whole. Lampard is kind of is doing things better now. Unlike before, he's coaching well. He's playing the right formations. He's picking the right selections. And Mendy, obviously, before, if it was Kepa, Kepa, you just need to play short and hope you have a 90% chance he will score. But with Mendy now, it's a bit more difficult. So I think it's going well for Chelsea. But one team that has surprised me this season is Tottenham. Not really surprised me, but I think it's Mourinho. Mourinho has been very funny this season, from his Instagram posts to his influencing posts on Instagram. He's basically doing what Ozil is doing on Twitter and Instagram. So his stats has kind of worked. Olivia, do you regret sacking Mourinho for your class captain, Ole?
I wish I had a say. Obviously, yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Of course, Mourinho is proven. I feel like a lot of people didn't just like him, especially the ex-players. They're always taking digs at him and everything. So, from what I see, most of them have some kind of influence on the decisions being taken there. So they didn't like him, and that was that. But I feel like they should have given him more time. Because when he said that, since where he got to with that crop of players was nearly impossible, and people were doubting him. And now we can see we don't have the best of players there. So I think that what he did at Manchester United was the best he could get out of that crop of players. So, but then again, he has moved on. Whether I regret it or not, it doesn't matter. He has moved on and he's doing so well, and I'm so happy for him. I am so rooting for him to possibly, I'm rooting for him to know if he can win with Spurs. So at least people can stop trolling them for once for their whole trophy thing.
Definitely.
And maybe let us see. Yeah. What he has done with Harry Kane, man, I'm screaming. That guy is on me right now.
Yeah.
He has 7 goals and 9 assists.
On this Harry Kane issue, because on Twitter I was saying, and a couple of us on Twitter said that Mourinho has improved the guy. Mourinho has improved. But there are a lot of people that are saying, no, Harry Kane has always been playing this. But the guy is getting more assists.
Anybody who doesn't see that he has gotten way better, it's lying. Or rather, they
I don't understand. I don't understand why people don't want to give Mourinho the
accolade. I mean, Harry is good, but not this good. He has improved all round, and it's clear to see. He attacks, he's creating, he's defending. So just massive, massive improvement.
My only issue now is, I don't know, do you think Tottenham can win the Premier League? Obviously, I believe they can. For me, I think this is in they can win the trophy. I'm thinking they can win that Carling Cup. But Edmond, do you think they can win the Premier League with the way it's going, for at least for the start of the season?
Oh my God, that's a very difficult question to answer. But guys, we've seen a lot of things happen in 2020. It's not far-fetched. They're playing well. And somehow they have this Mourinho spirit in them already. Look at Harry Kane. He's literally their first form of defense. He's literally their first form of attack. He's getting assists. Son is balling. Bill is still trying to integrate himself. They have Eric Dier. They have Lloris. So I watched their game against Man City, and they were very good. Defensively, they were very good. So I think they are unbeaten in 14 games. I've been one loss in 14 games. That loss in the Europa League. So and with the way 2020 has gone, what have we not seen this year? I can't rule them out. I can't say, because Man City are also not looking. They're looking peaceful, guy. Liverpool are looking good, but they're having so many defensive issues.
Yeah.
You get Chelsea are looking all right, but can you trust Chelsea? Can you trust them? So it's going to be difficult. But I think they're going to compete, Charlie. They're going to compete and they're going to be close. So let's.
I think it's about going all the way, and I feel like it's going to be very tight at the top. But like you said, never say never. But I obviously I see them going all the way. Honestly, I see them going all the way because he has experience. He just needs Harry Kane to be fit. Once Harry Kane can be fit all season, then they will definitely have a chance.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to talk about Manchester City, because Edmond just brought it up, because I obviously even forgot about them. They've been very poor. And Edmond, they're always a fan of Pep Guardiola. So what has gone wrong with Guardiola this season?
I can't just put my hands on it too. I can't. But I think if I should analyze it, I think their team has gotten weaker. Not in terms of quality. Yeah. They had David Silva. Nobody can replace David Silva. Aguero is no longer the Aguero that we know. Maybe age is catching up with him. He has had a couple of injuries. Gabriel Jesus cannot do what Aguero does. It's obvious. They had Sané in the past. Mahrez is a dunce, I'm sorry to say, but Mahrez is a very frustrating player to watch. He makes the wrong decision. I don't know why he's still playing, but did you watch the game against Spurs? He was playing total rubbish.
Yeah.
You get Sterling in the shadow of himself. Bernardo Silva is just the Bernardo Silva that we saw when they got 100 points. We can't want to see him again. When he plays like he's depressed.
Yeah.
You get then what's his name? Rodri is not as good as Fernandinho. So I feel like quality has dropped, but it's still no excuse for the way they are playing because they can't score goals. They've scored only 10 goals this season in the league.
And they've conceded 11. As at this point
last season, they've scored 27. So that's like
last season they scored like 102 goals. Imagine.
You get, so I feel like
Liverpool champions scored 85 goals. So they're nowhere near their creativity this year. I feel like I miss the days of Aguero, where you know that definitely they don't have that person in that team that no matter what, that person must score a goal. But now they're literally just fishing for goals.
When I watch them play, I think this is the poorest Man City side since Pep came, to be honest. They were not this poor winning his first season. So they have a lot of work to do. He has a lot of work. He went to sign a new contract. He went to sign a 3-year contract
extension.
Which
2 years.
For me, in my own opinion, I think Pep Guardiola has been found that his tactics have been found that teams are beginning to quickly adapt. It's taking a while, but teams can begin to say, okay, this is how to play Pep Guardiola's side, this is how to defend against them, this is how to attack against them.
I don't believe in that whole thing of a player's style being found out.
That's a very funny thing to say. Listen, everybody knows right from Pep Guardiola's time in Barcelona that this is how he plays. So what do you mean by he has been found out? You know that when you are going to play my Pep Guardiola's team, this is what you are going to expect. But how many people have stopped it before now? I don't think it's an issue.
No creativity in the team. Okay, look at Kevin has only provided 3 assists this season. They're not creating goals. That's their problem.
Yeah, I understand it's their problem, but it's for me, except from David Silva, it's still the same.
What he said, okay, which coach hasn't been found out? Every coach has found out. It's about the players and how they're being.
For me, my point remains that it's still the same set of players, bad David Silva. And nothing is clicking for them this season. For me,
I thought I just explained that there is no more Sané. They don't have the quality of Sané. They don't have Aguero is a shadow of himself. How many games has he played this season? That we say why he's not there. Fernandinho is no longer Fernandinho. The work he does in that, Rodri can't do it. So how are you saying?
Midfield.
Okay. Anyways,
the only constant there now is Sterling.
And remember, they have new players. And I don't think those players are as quality as the rest of the players that have been
It's not about quality yet. They've not even had the chance to like play together. How long? When they come? What's his name? Torres. When did Torres come?
He hasn't even been like their best player this season. That Torres guy.
That's cap now.
No, it's the truth now.
How many goals has he scored for them?
He has actually, for me, I feel he has been their best player this season. They don't really have any standout player like this season for me. For me, that Torres has stood out to me because he has scored, he has assisted.
But they will come good, though. I feel like it's just a matter. Yes. They just came from the international break. And you know how it is when you play games immediately after international break now.
Anyways, I know if we continue this whole podcast, you're going to always defend Pep. So can you channel this energy now to Koeman? Barcelona are languishing at the relegation point of the table. So what's happening with Koeman? I thought he had come in and he was about to go back to the Barcelona style of play. Griezmann, Messi, they're going to perform. So what has happened?
I don't like to hear Barcelona problem. Pass me. I don't know what to say. Our issues are plain. Our issues are too much. First of all, there's the issue of Messi. He's not the Messi. We know for sure that
Barcelona was like a system around Messi, and if he's not performing, Barcelona is not performing. And so
thank you very much. Because Messi, for many years, he has papered over the cracks. Messi will always turn up, maybe score a goal, do something. But now that he's not papering over the crack as much as he used to, our plenty issues are showing. Defensively, we're not good. We have a lot of our problems are too many. Because Koeman on his own. I don't really know if I can blame him very much because with the team that he has, I don't know. But we're not defending well. We're creating, but we're not finishing. Griezmann has been Griezmann has been poor in terms of finishing, but I think we're creating enough chances to win.
But whatever happened to Griezmann? Griezmann was excellent at Atletico Madrid, and he literally looks like a completely new, different person. Like, he's so recognizable.
The issue is that Griezmann is a player that thrives off playing with a huge or playing with another centre forward. You get he's like a number 10. You can't limit Griezmann because everyone that's playing as a number 9. If you watch our games, you see him popping up in left back, centre back. He contributes better defensively than he does attacker wise right now, which is very funny because so he plays in the same set areas that Messi played. To be honest, his buy was a very needless buy. He should never have been in Barcelona. He should never have come. We should never have bought him. But he's here now. He's here now. So we have to try and make it work.
He's here. So they have to fix him somewhere where he belongs, actually.
Yeah,
issues are plenty. Messi initially said he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
The club tried to stop him. Eventually ended up staying. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe mentally something has just switched off. But we saw him. He played very well in the last game before the international break. Against Juventus too, he was very good.
Yeah.
But against Atletico, man, it was just, we're just all over the place. You get there. Now we've had this issue of Piqué is injured,
like said, is injured. Majority of this Barcelona problem now is Messi.
We have no alternate centre back now that Piqué is gone. We sold to Debo.
Mm-hmm.
Busquets is no longer as good as he used to be. Piqué is no longer as good as he used to be. Alba doesn't know
anything. Everyone is no longer as good as
Messi. So the whole team needs to be like revamped. You get the whole, it's not just a Messi issue. Yeah. Messi, if you are saying if you want to put everything on Messi, it will not be fair to the guy because this guy has tried now. He has carried his bombs for how many years? You get we need, and the fact
and
that
they should have let him go when he said he wanted to go. So he would have gone to rest somewhere else. Because he doesn't deserve this.
Coman is still playing the same back line that considered 8 goals to Bayern. How do you do that? The same back line that considered 8 goals to Bayern, the same backline that considered 4 goals to Liverpool at Anfield 2 years, that'd be 3 years ago. I'm sure it's the same backline that bought it against Roma. So can you count how many centre backs Pep Guardiola has bought since he came to Man City? In that same space, we're still using the same set of centre backs. Piqué, they are good. I'm not going because they are legends to me, but they're no longer good enough. They should not be starters. They should not be guaranteed starters in the team. We need young and hungry boys. Look at the way he's handling this pure boy. He's not even playing him. A boy that is a certified bowler. Stop playing him. So he too has his own issue. I don't tire of the club, to be honest.
Well, I feel with the former president gone, finally, they resigned. I've forgotten that is his name. Because you guys hated him so much. Now, there's nobody to blame. So, especially when the new president comes.
What of the issues he left behind?
Exactly.
He's
not going to
leave a lot of issues behind. So, he just cleared those issues in, 3 months?
It's not going to take years. It's going to take... It depends on the person that becomes president. Now, there's going to be an election in January.
Yeah.
So I feel like the next president for Barcelona, in terms of the club and the history, is very important. Because if the person comes and is smart with innovative ideas and a right project, the right sporting project, at least we can say, okay, by next season, we can start.
Yeah.
But if the person comes and is another dunce, then we're going the Man United way or the similar way, which is pathetic, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel in Barcelona...
They're looking for a way to get themselves back up. So it's unfair mentioning them right now.
No, but they went like a very long way before they are coming back now. You get
I'm telling you that no matter how good a project someone has, those things don't get fixed in, you know how you have to find a star player, like a big star player like Messi. Not even Messi, because obviously you can't find another Messi, but someone close enough. At least you need two or three of those kind of players in a big team like Barcelona in different positions. So
I feel like we'll improve as time goes, but it's still not going to be good enough.
I'm of the opinion that Barcelona, especially once Messi leaves, I feel it might be a mid-table club if things are not addressed quickly. Especially the president, and it needs to be moving in the right direction. For me, Barcelona is going backwards every single time. They are just signing players for signing sake. Like Uri said, Griezmann came in. He wasn't supposed to have come in. I feel that Eden Hazard and Griezmann transfer was even in the wrong way. For me, I feel Eden Hazard would have fit very well in Barcelona and Griezmann would have fit very well in Real Madrid. But obviously, Real Madrid signed Eden Hazard and Barcelona wanted to like upstage them, so they signed Griezmann. It was just a weird transfer movement, in my opinion. Before we round up, let's talk about Nigeria Super Eagles. They played 4-4 with Sierra Leone last week. That was just a strange scoreline. Or did you catch the game, man? But are you impressed with what Nigeria played over this?
I didn't watch the game. I was showing the scores on Twitter, because Nigerian game, the time, but it was disappointing. It was disappointing. You don't... I want to say you don't just bottle a 4-goalie, but my club, Barcelona, we are serial bottlers. So that's going to be hypocritical. But imagine being a Barca fan of Nigerian, bro.
Yeah.
You get, but I feel like at that period, with the way the country was at the time it happened, it just went to show how pathetic and how poor we are as a country, not just our footballing team, not just the footballing side. The whole country is depressed, guy.
Yeah.
You get, so it just transferred to the players, because I mean, from 4-0, doesn't make sense now. Nobody should do that. My secondary school team will not lose. We'll not bottle a 4-goal.
This our general throw. There has been calls for him to be sacked. My own opinion is that he shouldn't be sacked, because he has really, for me, he has moved that team in the right direction. He has brought in new players. He has been able to convince some foreign-based players to switch their allegiances to Nigeria.
This is team now. Can we go and play the likes of them, Algeria? Because Maris is totally different player when he plays for Algeria. I don't know what's wrong with him, but can we go and play them, Algeria, them, Egypt, and some of the best teams on the continent? Can we compete with them? Can we go and win them? Not compete with Nigeria. Can we go and beat them?
I feel we can, because we have the players, but I think...
struggling to compete here in Africa. How much more outside of the continent?
Forget outside of the continent.
So that's why even qualifying for World Cups annoys me, because it's Africa, like, we're going there to just represent...
Exactly. Yeah. Not just Nigeria. The whole African continent was not ready.
The whole continent,
I mean, I think...
And I'm still pissed that we don't have, like, a proper football system here in Africa at this point.
There was this issue of I think it was Algeria.
They don't even care about commercializing the whole situation and making it a lot better.
Did you people catch that news of Algeria fans using torchlight, their phone torchlight, to see and to park on the pitch? Yeah. So in one country that they went to play, Shabo, like basically the equipment and the facilities are not there. They're not good enough.
Anyways.
So I think Africa, we're still backward, which is sad, because we have real talent here.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I feel Nigeria can actually compete in Africa, because we have the players. I think the coach, Gani Aroy, he should be judged after this. Hopefully they qualify for the Nations Cup. Then after that, after the Nations Cup, I think when we play...
When is the Nations Cup?
It's next year.
I think it's next year.
Next year, January.
What time? What month?
January and February.
What will happen to Salah and Mane?
They will leave now.
Salah and Mane.
They will all leave for this.
Are you sure it's not end of the season, bro?
No, it's not end of the season. They've taken it back to January and February now.
Wow, that's bad for Liverpool.
They switched it back. So I do hope... I think they switched it back, unless maybe they carried it back during this because of the whole corona. But I know... it was supposed to start this year, January, February, when the whole corona thing started and they had to pause everything. Anyways, I hope the general will be judged after the Nations Cup. If we qualify, then it shouldn't just be sacked now, in my opinion. All right, guys. So welcome to Extra Time. And it's been a weird 2020. This year has been extremely, extremely long. And I went to the market recently and the price of things has gone up, especially onions. Have you guys seen how serious... How crazy onions
is crazy. There are so many jokes about it, but it's not even funny. Because my mom won't even let you make food with onions now, unless it's something important. And the worst is, you don't even know what's important anymore. Even rice is no longer that important enough to make with onions. So
it's sick. It's not just onion. The whole of Nigeria is...
Do you know the funniest thing? Do you know the funniest thing? I went to the market. You can't get any foodstuff for 50 naira anymore. Garden egg.
I went to get tomatoes,
pepper, nothing.
You know what's crazy? I went to the market recently. I wanted to make jollof rice. So I was already in the process, and then I checked. I saw I didn't have this, tomato paste now. So there's like a small market in front of my estate. I just said, okay, let me quickly just dash there and get... I got there and they were telling me one tomato paste is for 120 naira. I was like, it's crazy, because this thing used to be 50 naira. I bought it to do, and then when I came back home, I made a tweet about it being 120, and people were like, I should rush it, I should buy it. Some people are saying it's 150 in their site. Some people are saying they don't say it for anything less than 200 naira.
It's 200
tomato paste sticker.
It's 200. It's 200 in Abuja,
bro. I'm like, how would it come now?
I know the funny thing. This thing has hit everywhere. Villages, towns, wherever you are. Like, I saw a girl, she made a post and she was like, if you have like up to 5,000 naira, just go and buy some things that you budget that you eat during Christmas, unless you don't want to eat during Christmas. Like, just buy whatever spare money you have now, just go and buy stuff and keep in your house, because you never can tell. Because you can just wake up one day and you will go to the market and you won't be able to afford anything. It's very possible.
The worst part about these things is that we all know in Nigeria is when prices go up like this, they never come down.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to imagine a world whereby the normal price for that small tomato paste is 200 naira or 150. It's crazy now. How will you take, you know, when we're in school, sometimes you want to just make this quick jollof rice.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you can just use that, you know, student life, those of them that are in school, or people that are in school, or the normal man that is hustling with his children at home. It doesn't make sense. 2020 has been crazy. Oh, I don't know. We're in recession now. Some people are saying it's because of COVID, but it's not because of COVID. Because so that other countries that prepared well and did whatever it is that they needed to do, they are balling.
It's crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yesterday I went to the market and I asked, because I'm Nigerian, but when it comes to rice, I don't like Nigerian brands of rice. So I asked how much was foreign rice and he told me 1,000. And I was celebrating because the last time I bought it, like last month, was 1,000 and 1,100 naira. I was celebrating that they removed 100 naira from foreign rice. So is that terrible when you're celebrating that they've removed 100 naira out of 1,100. So this whole country is just messed up. But I don't know.
We've not even talked about the price of foil.
Oh my
Very
god!
So now people that are trying to travel for Christmas and everything. If you want to travel, better travel early. Don't travel late. The price of foil, because you can be here maybe from Ibadan to or Lagos to Delta State, that can be like every 20. And a flight, don't have flight for new bigger.
That's
more expensive now, Steph.
And traveling now, so. And the transport fare is the real one thing. What of the insecurity on the road?
Yeah.
The fact that you could get robbed or get kidnapped or whatever. Bad roads, everything.
Problems are be like Barcelona. Problems.
I will actually be traveling back to Lagos like during this Christmas, and I think my boss listens to this podcast, so maybe I can just use this avenue to like beg him so I can enter his car and go to Lagos with him, because I can't, just thinking how much I'm going to pay on transport in December just to go home. It's just crazy. And before we round up, Trump lost election in US. That was just, I don't know, and he has been going off.
I don't think he knows that he lost that election, because the man is still ranting on Twitter. That's literally one of my favorite parts of Twitter. Just going to his page, they're reading it. I used to laugh. The comments on that used to always kill me. He still doesn't think that he lost, because he's still asking for recounts in different states and all that. Yeah. The man is just delusional.
And Twitter keeps on censoring him with all those the claim of election fraud is disputed, and everybody has kind of copied that Twitter meme and started using it. But honestly,
I really wish he could stop, because it's getting embarrassing at this point. Even if you think that there is something that happened, but the way he's going on about it, like, this is someone that won election during his time against Hillary, and you know, she quietly left it. And but this one, you're going on and on and on. You suffer that this, even in this investigation that I've done over, but the way
For me, I think
he's going to have no choice. I think the handover now is going to be like next year. So yeah. America have a lot of they have a lot of policies and a lot of checkmates that is impossible. You know, if it's Africa now, the way he's doing, he will not want to relate to the English power. He can decide to stay there again. And most African countries, there's nothing anybody can do, but it can't happen in the USA. They are too powerful for that. So he's just playing himself. When it's time for him to leave, he will leave.
That's what the sad part is. Why I say sad? Because I'm going to miss his tweets. Because for me, I feel he has made Twitter popular. Even if Twitter does not want to believe that Donald Trump has made them popular, because lots of his account alone gets a lot of engagement whenever he tweets. And even if people are against him, they just want to read what he's saying. Even if he's saying something very stupid or out of that doesn't make any sense, he voices his opinion. He's not all this kind of official, I must say this in this way, I must say this in this way, like our normal politicians are. For me, Joe Biden is that way. Every politician is that way. They like to go by the books, but he says things, whatever is in his head, before he thinks about it, he has typed it, he has tweeted about it. So I'm going to miss that way of communication, because politics, nobody knows what is happening. Everybody is trying to be...
But I basically don't expect him to stop tweeting. The guy that I know who will keep tweeting.
Yeah, I feel he will continue.
How strange 2020 has been.
Yeah.
Twitter introduced stories in 2020.
Yeah.
They are calling it Flip.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I never thought I would see this. See, this year has been weird. What was his name? A couple of people died this year. What was that? Remember one of these podcasts when Kobe Bryant passed away?
Yeah.
I think our Black Panther guy too also went away.
And SARS happened this year too,
when a lot of us actually decided to fight. We know how that thing is going now. I think CNN are still probing them. They are smoking them out.
Exactly. I think I'm enjoying the old CNN thing, because obviously they can't ban CNN. So now CNN is on their case. It's kind of good. Before they could ban AIT, Arise TV and all the rest, but they can't actually ban CNN. So
they react more to the international community than Nigerians. So it's very good that their whole exposure is coming internationally. You would have said and they're still trying to say that it was doctored and all of that.
We have social media to thank, because if there was no social media, a lot of the things that happened then we will not be able to see it, because many of us were not there. But thank God for the people that went live, which just brings me to the point whereby I'm thinking a lot of the stories we were fed growing up as children about Nigeria and what we're taught in school, how concrete are they, how true are they? Because if they can try to deny something that we saw clearly with our two eyes, imagine how much they have been changing the narrative and controlling the guys.
Said without social media, who knows, like all the things that has happened in the past, the stories that we know, you know, someone could bring up like a history and then someone else would come up with another kind of story and say, okay, this is actually what happened. And you know, those ones, we can't be so sure because we weren't there, we don't know, there are no evidences. But this one, we watched a live video, a lot of us were tuned in. What
for me, I'm just happy for like the switch that has left Nigeria and gone to Canada. Anyway, now we even need an asylum. Anyway, if I feel use asylum, leave Nigeria safe, I go come out. So I'm excited for her. She should leave this country. Maybe, and she said she's actually going to come back later. But as far as she has left Nigeria,
she's a hero. What she did is actually very brave. And I've been trying to even imagine how life would have been for her post that video, because she would have been getting lots of threats, lots of money offers, and a lot of it would be crazy. I watched a CNN interview, and she was very brave. She spoke. Well, she was honest, she was open, she was very vocal, she was eloquent. It was nice to watch. I'm praying for her.
Definitely.
Thanking her too.
But then again, it shows you the kind of leaders we have. They are going the extra mile.
We all know the kind of. Are you surprised? Is anything that has happened recently? Are you surprised?
I want to be disappointed for once that they can actually be humane and do what's right. But no, these are people that told us we had your demand. We are going to reform the police. We are going to do this. We are going to do that. Yet they were all like fake lies and promises, and they have no plans of doing anything. And now that these things are coming out, they're going all the way, arresting people, freezing accounts, doing all those crazy stuff. Like, it's so...
2020 has been crazy. Definitely, that's been crazy. And
I know the funny thing. A year that we anticipated so much, you know how we were always saying vision 2020? 2020 seemed like that very cool year and all that. But now, it's so underwhelming. Yeah. Like, I really wanted to just go by so that a new year can come. And let's just throw all the memories and leave them behind here.
On that note, to bring to an end this episode of the VN Center podcast, it's been fun hanging out with Olivia and Edmund on this episode of the show. Oris, thanks for joining me once again on the podcast.
Fun. It's always fun. It's always fun to talk football and to just, you know, rub minds with you. I totally enjoyed it. And I hope people that listen enjoy it too.
Enjoyed it, exactly. And Olivia, thanks for joining us once again on the show.
Thank you guys for having me once again. It's a pleasure. It's fun, even though things are not so great. But it's always fun to like hang out and talk football and life as Nigerians and stuff. But thank you.
Definitely. Thanks for joining us. Do check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Pocket Cast, wherever you get your podcast. The Viewing Center podcast is available on every podcast platform. And do take care of yourself, guys. Cheers.